It is time to talk to Chris Mason here on 102.5 The Game, talking Nashville Predators here on 102.5. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The Predators went into last night's game with, I believe, 8 road wins on the year, and they were playing a team that was 27-7-1 at home, and they beat them. They beat Carolina 3-1, thanks to UC Saros and a phenomenal performance for his 200th career win. Chris Mason joins us, and Mace, that was vintage UC Saros right there, a great performance.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I think he, you know, as we said on the broadcast, he must like playing there because every time he goes in there, he's put under siege and he performs. He has one of his best games of the year. And he was great. And I think right off the start of the game, Carolina had 2 really good chances and you could just tell Saros was sharp and he was ready to go. And I think that helped the guys settle in a bit. But from then on, I mean, the second period, he was just lights out. I mean, that Carolina could have been back in that game easily. They spent almost the entire second period in the Pred zone. But, you know, that's what you need from your goaltender. If you're going to win a hockey game like that, you're going to have games like that. Honestly, before the game, I was worried about this game. And, you know, just with the struggles on the road and the way that Carolina had been playing and the way that they play the Preds in that building. But, again, you get an unbelievable performance from Saros. And I think it was huge that they got the first goal of the game. I think, you know, for whatever the reason, that just is such a big indicator on, you know, increasing your chances to win, getting that first goal. And they were able to do that, and they basically survived the second period. And I thought they did a really good job at the halfway through the third period at holding Carolina at bay when they were pushing, especially 6-on-5. I thought that was maybe their best stretch of the game when, you know, they were trying to crank it up and get the equalizer.
We get into really interesting discussions with people about the system the teams play. Let's take St. Louis, because St. Louis right now, they are all in, and it's working really well with Jim Montgomery's system. And they're on fire, very similar to the way the Predators were on fire at this time last year. Everything's clicking. Everybody knows their role. It's going in. It looks just like Nashville. They play very different than Nashville played last year. Is that fair to say? Nashville, much more aggressive, forward moving. St. Louis is much more pack it in, protect the middle, and then counter with the odd man rushes. It's fascinating to me how different styles can work, but how every year certain teams just can't figure out how to have everybody buy in and click, and other years another team with maybe the same type of personnel, maybe, you know, before the season started, player for player, would you have taken St. Louis's roster or Nashville's roster? I think most people picking before the season pick Nashville to finish ahead of St. Louis, but it's been opposite. It's just a fascinating thing to see.
It really is. And I mean, the big thing that I take out of, you know, what you just kind of explained there is you need the 100% buy-in. I mean, you can implement any system and it could be successful. I mean, you look at Carolina, they're man on man. They've been doing this, you know, for as long as Brind'Amour's been there, and they've had great success because they have everybody buy in. They've got their core guys that obviously understand exactly, you know, how to implement the system. And then everybody they bring on board, if they don't, they're not going to be a Carolina Hurricane. And they have they do a good job of identifying players and adding those players to the mix, you know, from other teams. And they've had a lot of turnover there as well in Carolina the last few years, but they have an understanding. They have the buy-in, as does St. Louis right now. Montgomery is very specific in how he wants to play. He's had a lot of success in, you know, every stop of the way. Dallas, Boston, you know, everybody was surprised that Boston let him go. They you know, and St. Louis wasted no time, scooped him up right away because I think they understand, you know, his message works, and it's working in St. Louis. It took a little bit took a little while to get, you know, acclimated, and when there's changes like that, it's going to take time. But I think if you have the buy-in from everybody and a team, you know, with a lot of core guys that have, you know, won a Stanley Cup and that really understand that, hey, this is the way we're going to play, and everybody's got to be on board. Otherwise, you know, we have no chance. And now they're doing it right now. And you're right. They're very transition-based. They lock it down. They don't give you anything. They try to protect the net. You know, defense is extremely important and not giving up quality chances. But then when they get possession, because of their good defensive structure, they go on the attack right away, and they've got a great skating forward group that can do that, and they can get separation when they catch teams trying to cheat for offense. So, you know, the Preds had that last year. We know how this year's gone. It's been really unfortunate. I think it became more of a mental thing with this group, to be honest with you. And, you know, once your head is not in the right place, it's really tough to gain any traction. And it's just been, I think, the story of the season. But, again, they played some really good games here as of late. Saros has been awesome. And you're seeing a team that's, you know, locking it down much better defensively, you know, given the circumstances of their back end beat up. You're having a lot of guys step up and take on more responsibility than, you know, they're ready for probably at this point, but doing a heck of a job, to be honest. I think, you know, the expectations have to be limited back there, but they're personally exceeding what I expected out of this group going forward. So we'll see if they can keep it going and have that good feeling. It certainly felt a lot better here the last couple of weeks.
Now, see, Mace, when you talk about, you know, buying in, because I think a lot of buying in is trusting, you know, the coach or the coaching staff that what we're going to do is going to work. But you look at what the Predators have been going through. Is there truly a buy-in, not because they dislike, you know, Coach Bruno, but because of so much up and down, the trust is not there. And if that's that is indeed the case, then maybe, you know, some things need to change above sort of the players, because this is a two-way, you know, this is a two-way street, so to speak. Because, you know, yes, you want to buy in, but I also got to trust you, coach, and you have to give us the avenue or the space to trust you so we can then buy in.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, D-Mace. I think a lot of it, trust is 100%. I mean, I always go back to situations where you're playing, you know, with offensive players and you're trying to tell them as a coach or as a team that, guys, trust me, if you play defense and you commit to the defensive side of things, we're going to play with the puck more and you're going to get more offense. And at first, you know, you're going to have guys rolling their eyes going, you know, not buying in or believing that or trusting that that's true. But then once they do it, they understand, they're like, holy crap, I got the puck more, you know, I'm playing offense, you know, so there's something to that. But I think you're right. I think, you know, at this season, I think you had so many guys come in that had been in places for a long, long time that are accustomed to playing a certain way with a group of players that, you know, they played with forever, and you don't even have to think. You just go out there and play, and it took a long time, and I think adjustments, you know, could have maybe been made earlier. And I think now the lines of communication are open, so they are making adjustments and tweaks to what they're doing. But I think trust on both sides have to be there. You have to, you know, you have to trust the coach, and the coach has to be able to trust the players and each other. I mean, if you go out there and you're on a line, you got, you know, two guys playing the system, you know, to a T, and then one guy's on his own program, it's not going to work. It just won't. There's too many, you know, too many leaks and too many holes, and you're dependent on, you know, everybody, you know, playing the same way. So I think the trust factor, as you mentioned, is huge. I think they're working on that now, and I think they're, you know, kind of tweaking to the roster they have, and maybe obviously it took a lot longer, you know, to get things going. So Bruno's had to, you know, open up those lines of communication and tweak some things so, you know, everybody can get it and they can have more success.
Chris Mason is with us. We're talking Predators here. And so let's talk one more about system, and then we'll tie it into UC Saros' performance, because there's been a lot of discussion that Barry Trotz has had about tweaking the system that Andrew Burnett wants to play internally, and then deciding at the end of the year, is this how we want to go forward? Because here's what's happened in a number of games where the Predators are playing the system that they want to play, and the game in St. Louis is an interesting one. We just talked about St. Louis. They pack it in. They counter. They're not as worried about how many shots they're going to give up. It's the quality of the shots, and then can they take their opportunities to get two-on-ones, three-on-twos. So the Predators have outshot the Blues, but the quality of the Blues' 18 shots turns into really high-grade chances that they're converting. So how should the Predators play? This is how much do they want to tweak the system is really the essential question. And is Andrew Burnett the right guy to make those tweaks so that when they start fresh next year, they get that total buy-in and they're getting the most out of all the players?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. And, you know, obviously that's going to be a decision Barry's going to have to make in the offseason. But when you look at a team like St. Louis, and it's kind of tough to compare these teams right now because, you know, they're in a situation where they're trying to ramp up and they're trying to play in a way that's going to give them the best chance of having success in the playoffs. And to me, Jim Montgomery is like, hey, we won't give up anything. Like you said, I'll give up those perimeter shots all day. If they want to shoot for the puck from the outside, we'll take that. You know, we're not going to give up any grade A's. We're going to try to win this game. If it has to be 2-1, it's 2-1, but we aren't giving anything up. But we trust our forward group and our speed to be able to get a lot of chances off, you know, other teams' mistakes. But we're always going to be in the right spot, and we're going to attack. And I think, you know, for the Predators right now, you know, it's probably a little bit different of a mentality because you're taking a look at a lot of young players. A lot of players are probably playing, you know, in a spot where if they were in a playoff run, they wouldn't be. So you want to see if these guys can get it, can put it together. You know, Luke Evangelista is a guy that's a good example of that. He's had a tough season. He's been up and down. He seems to be feeling, you know, really good right now. And they scored a goal on what Bruno's system is. It was a great play by Delgazzo, but they anticipated possession in that zone. And we saw that last year. And, you know, you bring up last year because that's Bruno's system. That's a lot of these players that were there, and they were able to execute it. So for whatever reason, I think it's almost more disappointing on the guys that returned from last year at the beginning of the season not to be able to get things going in that regard before it kind of spiraled and took on a life of its own. But I think, you know, going forward, that's going to be one of the biggest decisions, I think, you know, for Bruno is how do I adjust? How do I adapt? Do these guys understand what I'm trying to do? And at this point of the season, you know, I think you have to try to play a little bit like that way. You have to tweak it a little bit because of, you know, the defense. And I think they've done a better job of, you know, locking down and maybe not quite giving up as much as they had all year.
Right.
You know, they still give up the big quality. They're still prone to the, you know, the mistake where you have an offensive zone face-off and then all of a sudden it's a 2-on-1 going back the other way. You know, so there are those issues, but I don't think that's, you know, to be unexpected, I think, with, you know, the personnel that, you know, is out there every single night. But that's something you need to keep continually put these players in. You know, you've got Justin Barron, Delgazzo, Stastny, Nick Blankenberg, who's doing a really good job playing top minutes. But, you know, if anybody had Nick Blankenberg as your, you know, second defenseman at this point of the year, you know, you'd want a lot of money. You know, he's playing above where he should be playing, but he's doing a good job. And I think if you look at that whole defensive core, aside from Brady Shea, everybody's playing a lot higher up than where they would normally. So you're going to have those breakdowns. I think they're, you know, committed in terms of the effort that they give every night. They're defending a lot better as a team. And to me, one of the biggest parts of that is the commitment from the forward group. I think they've done a lot better job helping out these young defensemen. So, you know, it's kind of a tough situation because, you know, not necessarily coaching to win right now. So in Bruno's, you know, part, you still want to win and feel good, but you're coaching to see if these guys can get it, if this is something you can sustain with this group of players.
All right, so let's tie it back to Saros. He wins his 200th game last night. We know what he's capable of when he's at his best. He's playing better. He's won 5 out of his last 7. He's won 7 out of 11 since the Four Nations break. His save percentage is still sitting there at .899, and on the surface, you're sitting there going, well, wait, .899, that's not UC Saros level, even though the average save percentage is, I haven't checked it the last couple of days, it's probably around 901. 900, 901 is right about average. But his save percentage, it seems like he thrives when he faces a lot of shots, like last night. And, of course, the last time he played against Carolina, it was a couple of years ago, he had 64 saves in a game which very extreme. How many shots they were giving up. But we've seen him sometimes, you know, give up 3 goals on 21 shots, right? And sometimes that's not enough to win a game, even though you're sitting there going, he didn't play well. But 18 out of 21 obviously isn't a great save percentage. So it's not all about save percentage. People need to understand that. But are there goalies, Mace, that do thrive when they know they're going to face more shots, just more volume of shots?
Absolutely. I mean, any goaltender will tell you they want a consistent body of work. I mean, you don't want to give and your point, the best, you know, thing that you said in that, I think, is the quality of those shots.
Right.
You know, the level of chance, the grade level of a chance. And I think some, you know, when people are talking about goaltending, I know everybody's, you know, there's been a lot of controversy over UC Saros. And, you know, a lot of people might consider, you know, Connor Hellebuck, you know, the best goaltender in the league. He's having an unbelievable season. He's going to win the Vezina. But if you take Connor Hellebuck out of Winnipeg and you put him in Nashville this year, he's not winning the Vezina. You know, his numbers are going to be a lot closer to what UC Saros is. And I think people, you know, look at Igor Shesterkin and still consider him one of the best goalies in the league. Well, he's got the same, if not worse, statistics than UC Saros because he plays an environment similar to what UC Saros does. They give up a ton of grade A chances. They're not good defensively. I don't care how good a goaltender is. You are, in some extent, you know, you're an extension of the environment that you're in. And it's been tough. It's been a tough year. You know, it doesn't really matter who you put in that situation. It's tough to compare a goalie that plays on a team like Winnipeg to Nashville. And one thing I look at is if you look at the Athletic did something, I think it was the coaches and goalie coaches, and they're trying to, you know, tier the goaltenders, you know, from legacy goaltenders all the way down to whatever the tiers was. And everybody still considers UC Saros in that very top bracket with, yes, Hellebuck, with Vasilevsky, with Shesterkin. So that's understanding the situation a little more. Because you can't just take the numbers at face value. There's a lot, you know, more deeper analytics that tell, you know, the better part of the story, in my opinion.
Yes. I think the question I'm asking is, what's the best way to play in front of UC Saros? Because Andrew Brunette's system is more of our best defense is to have the puck on the other end of the ice and just not let the other team have the puck. But as you've pointed out many times, for any goalie, forget about Saros and take Kochetkov last night. He went 10 minutes without seeing the puck. The puck wasn't on his end for a while sometimes. And then all of a sudden, here's a chance, and Nashville converts, and he loses the game. And he's probably the guy that everybody's pointing at saying, what was wrong with Kochetkov? But the best, it's a mystery that I don't know that there is a right or wrong answer, but it is a fair question as you assess your personnel, and you've got a guy like Saros. What's the best way to play in front of him?
Yeah, well, that's the tough question. Now, obviously, you're not going to say, hey, we've only given up 15 shots. We better give up 5 or 10 more.
Right. It doesn't make it. You know? It's not logical to say we want to give up 40 shots.
Yeah, and you can't do that on a consistent night-in, night-out basis. So I think there's the biggest thing to me is the balance, the quality of chance that you're giving up. I think that's got to be limited first and foremost. You know, if you're giving up shots and whatever number you want to take, 30, which would probably be high on the shots against per game in the league, if you're going to give up around that number and, you know, you've got some perimeter chances and maybe they have, you know, 5 to 10 grade A's, or 10's a lot actually, but about 5 grade A's and, you know, some reasonable chances. And even the grading of chance, I mean, you have to go over every single chance. I know teams do a deeper analytical analysis on each chance. But if you can keep it around that number and make it reasonable, I think, you know, at the end of the day, the goalie is back there to stop the puck regardless of the situation. But if you want to, you know, increase your guy's chance of success, you know, you just can't be giving up the, you know, multiple grade A's, breakdowns, two-on-ones, those types of wide-open chances. I think that's the biggest thing that the Predators really need to kind of curb in the butt and get that taken care of. It's the big chances, the big mistakes at critical points of the game. You know, you've got young defensemen and young players, that's going to happen. But if you want to win and get in the playoffs next year, you know, they've got to eliminate a lot of those mistakes.
Mace, good stuff. Good philosophical conversation. We'll table it from here, and then we'll see what the Predators could do with the Blues tomorrow night.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right. That's Chris Mason talking hockey. D-Mace, I know the wheels were turning with you, saying, interesting with the systems, right? Playing
exactly,
the system,
yeah.
Playing it well. There's different ways to play, but whatever you play, it can work if you have the right guys who are all bought in. And that has been a problem for the Predators at the beginning of the year. They got the W last night. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap up the first hour here, and then we'll wind our way back into some football talk. We'll talk NCAA tournament as well. And also, let me do this. We've got some tickets for tomorrow night, and the Predators will take on the Blues for the final time this year. And if you want to go to the game, we would love to have you down there. All you've got to do is be, let's see, caller number 74, UC Sarlacc. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to. David is ready to kill me if I said that. But why don't we say caller number 7. Mark Delgazzo had 2 assists last night for the Predators. Nice game for him. Caller number 7. If you want to go to the Predators game tomorrow night, call 615-737-1025, and we will hook you up. 615-737-1025. Our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Stay tuned. We're coming back.